I'm going to test this really quickly and see. Okay, this is Valerie Pollowitz interviewing Cindy Cook at 10:35 on Saturday, February the 19th, 1994. I got that out of the way. I wanted to start with some real general questions.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, are you from Medford and how long have you lived here?
I've lived here all my life.
Yeah, so you grew up in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up near White's or outside of Medford?
I grew up actually just a couple blocks from White on Jackson Street.
Oh gosh. Did anyone in your family work for White?
My grandfather did, my daddy's daddy. And he worked in the, I think it was in the boiler room. He was a maintenance supervisor or something to that effect. But he died when I was young, so I never really knew him. But Daddy's been real interested in it.
Your father has? Did your father work for him?
No, Daddy didn't, but through his father working there. And he's lived in Mebane all his life.
Gosh.
And Mama grew up in Cedar Grove.
Okay. And you said your grandfather worked in the boiler room. Do you have an idea of the dates he might have worked for White's?
No, let's see, he passed away when I was 2, so that was in 59, so it was probably 40s and 50s, like in 40s and 50s, somewhere along there.
No, you didn't know him, and so you couldn't have heard stories from him, but it sounds like your father was very close to your grandfather and might have passed on stories. Are there any stories that
stick out? Well, I don't really remember any Daddy said, but Margaret White, she was talking about, she was there when my grandfather worked there. And he was fire chief of the fire department. And she said that the fire whistle would go off and everybody would be rushing to go and their claw would be just slowly walking across the street to the fire department. And she was talking about that. And we found some old records of salary and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was like 10 cents an hour. I mean, it was just unbelievable. But she found his name on the card toward the end, and that was interesting to see.
What was his name?
Claude Sykes.
Claude Sykes, S-Y-K-E-S?
Right.
Okay, and he worked in the 40s and the 50s. And it sounds as a supervisor, he had some responsibility or some authority. So that's impressive.
Yeah.
Had he grown up in Mebane?
I think so, but I'm not for sure positive. He at one time was had Sykes Electric, which Daddy went on to have, and his brother. But I guess maybe he must have been in the maintenance part having his electrical experience.
Okay. So your father didn't go to White's. Did he not work at White's?
I don't think he ever worked at White. It may be that when Daddy was up in age that it was when his daddy had his electrical business. As far as I know, that's all Daddy's done, you know, is what he started out, except for working at Delmer's, lining up hot dogs up his arm. It was actually right beside the Jones department store where the display's going to be. It used to be a little drug store, and he used to work in there, but I think that was before. While he was still young, before he had a full-time job.
Right. Just to make this clear, did your grandfather have electrical business on the side, or did he leave White's to start a business?
No, I think it was the other way around. I think he was an electrician first and then went to White.
But
I think.
And then his sons?
And his sons took over the electrical business.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Okay.
I'm not real sure.
So your father never worked for White's, but had a connection through his father.
Right.
And then you work for White's. How did you start working for White's Furniture?
Well, I had just had a baby, and she was 2 months old. And my next-door neighbor, Lou Clark, was a teacher at Eastern High School, and she worked with vocational placements. And I think Mr. White had spoken to her about needing someone, and she called and asked if I was interested. And I went and interviewed with Mr. White on January 1st, 1980. And he gave me the job and I started. And I was there until June. I was one of the last ones to go.
June of
93.
Mm-hmm.
So 80 to 93.
Mm-hmm. January of
82. So you got the job right away. He really did need someone right then. Mm-hmm. And you stepped in. So you interviewed with him personally. I find that interesting. Did he need someone for his office?
No, it was I was working as a purchasing assistant with Fletcher Homes.
Okay.
And yeah, Mr. White handled it personally.
What was he like as an interviewer?
Well, he wanted to, I went to Appalachian, I graduated from Appalachian, and he asked me about my grades because I think he's real concerned with that since he has had the scholarship program that he gave to students at Eastern High School. And he was very pleasant. Of course, he loves his horses, and I don't remember exactly, but it seems like that may have worked in there some way. And Mr. White was my daddy's Boy Scout leader when I think he was one of the beginning Boy Scouts of the Mebane troops, White was. And Daddy told me he could remember going to some camping trip with Mr. White as his leader. And Daddy always respected Mr. White and thought a lot of him, as do most people in Mebane, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did you work in his vicinity, or after that time, did you see much of Mr. White as a purchasing agent?
It was a small place. Oh. We saw him every day. Oh. You know, like our office was right up here and his was right down there. So it wasn't like, yeah, we saw him daily.
Okay. How many people were in your office?
At that time it was Fletcher, myself, and Carol Perry. She was the insurance clerk and accounts payable. So it was the three of us in one office. They've knocked out walls since then, but when I first came, there was more walls in there.
Uh-huh.
Now it's just an open area.
Why did they open the area?
I'm not sure. I guess less walking around, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the reasoning was, but they knocked out. See, it was bookkeeping was in the back there, and then the payroll clerk. She had a little space where she actually did the payroll, and they just made that one open room.
That's the individual areas.
Right, no walls or partitions or anything, just desks.
Gosh.
It was different.
Yeah. When did this happen, the walls changing?
I had already moved upstairs, and I worked in purchasing for 4 years, and then I moved up to the sales department. Probably, I don't know, about 1986 or somewhere along in there.
So after the sale to...
It may have been after the sale to Hickory. It may have been. That would be about right, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So
that, my first thought was maybe there was a difference.
That was probably when it happened. Because very little change happened until that point.
Hmm. And then did you notice a radical change, or was it a gradual change?
It was gradual.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Before we get excited, we got a new coffee pot. You know? things just didn't change that much. So, I thank the children.
Okay. Did you like working for White?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I liked working in Mebane. It was very convenient, and the people were real nice. It was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You got away to college and had come back.
Right.
Why did you come back?
To get married. My husband was born and raised here in Mebane also, so we got married. I graduated in 78, in December of 78, and we got married December 30th of 78. And then that first year, in high school, I worked at A&M Grill, which is just right down the road from White. And I worked there, and then we got pregnant shortly after we got married. And Amanda was born in November. And so it was just, I had looked, you know, applied. You feel like you fill out application after application. And, when Ms. Clark called me about this job, I thought, well, you know, that would be nice.
They have pretty good benefits, and we're known for their good bonus checks at the end of the year because they were profit sharing at that time. But that stopped when Hickory bought. So, it was nice. And at the time when we just lived, like on the other side of Clay Street, which is probably about four blocks from White, not very far. So it's just really nice. I'm working in Burlington now, so I never thought I'd want to, and I really don't want to leave Medvin. I'd rather work in Medvin, but you get used to driving. I never thought I would. I don't know.
Did you walk to work?
On snow days or something like that, yeah. And whenever it snowed, Mr. White always bought us barbecue for lunch. So if we saw the first plate, we'd call down there and we'd say, chopped or sliced. And he would always go to A&M and we'd have barbecue and everybody would eat together so nobody would have to go out. So we did a lot of fun things.
Wow, so it was.
I think they actually made up a little song, some of them, that would call down there and sing. But it was a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun.
That's great. So it sounds like White's was a very, both a centrally located job, but also it was central in the lives of many people. You could get to it, you could walk to it. Most other businesses were around it.
Right.
So it was really.
And I grew up hearing the whistle blow all my life, you know. You knew what time it was. It was your town clock, too, at 7 and at 12.
Oh, my gosh.
4. So.
That was a natural move for you to work for them. It wouldn't have been strange. It was something you did.
Although when I went down there, I really didn't know any of the people that were working in the office. I knew Janet Norris just because she had some children there about my age, but I didn't know her personally.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
Yeah. So you got to know people down there.
Oh, right. And most of them were from the Medvin area or Powell River or Eflin.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
Was it, I know what I wanted to ask. Would you describe a typical day? You mentioned a whistle blowing. Would you have been driving to work or would you have already been at work when the whistle blows? And then what happened during your day?
Toward the end?
You had different jobs and there are different times. How about when you first got your job, say 1980, and you were purchasing with Mr. White?
Okay, I worked 8 to 5, so we'd get there and get the invoices. And I didn't really spend much time out in the plant. It was more just in the office with the purchasing end of it. We'd have lunch. We were closed from 12 to 1, and everyone would go to lunch at that time, which that changed later, too. But, and then get off at 5 and hear the whistle blow for the employees to leave at 4.
Did everyone leave at the same time and come at the same time and eat at the same time?
The employees were at 7 to 4, and in fact, they had lunch from 12 to 1.
Okay.
And then the office worked 8 to 5, but we also had lunch from 12 to 1.
Okay, so by employees, you mean people who worked in the factory?
Right,
okay.
Right, yeah.
I was just curious. All right, so it sounds like there was pretty set time, and then you said it changed. There were changes, so people ate at different times or came at different
times?
Well,
they split the lunch hour. Well, we didn't have a commissary, and then after Hickory bought, they fixed up an area with picnic tables inside and outside too, and provided commissary type thing where a lady worked the area, and they, different departments, it was like two different time periods, 10:45, and they also started getting off at 3:30, mm-hmm. And took a half hour lunch instead of an hour. Mm-hmm. When I first went, I was 8 to 5, and then when I went to the sales department, which may have been about the time when Hickory bought, I worked from 7 to 4 so I could do the printing early in the morning before everybody got there, and so the computer wouldn't be tied up. And then when I had my third job there, which was production control, it was more plant oriented. So after working 8 years on one side of the spectrum, it was really enlightening to work more closely to the plant and the actual production of the furniture. The engineers would create route sheets for the processes for making up the furniture, and I would key all that information in the computer, and we would have cuttings, and I would print a route sheet for everything that was going to be cut, and it would have quantities on there. And so you just heard a lot of different, it was just amazing how one piece of furniture could have 100 different parts that actually made up that one piece of furniture, and each part had like 5 to 10 operations to make that one part. So I had been dealing with finished product and not with the raw materials. It took a while to get used to that, but I feel fortunate that I had that experience to know that end. I really felt like I knew more about white furniture once that happened.
Yeah.
Because you would hear these, like, veneer and all these things, even in purchasing. And when I first got there, Fletcher took Carol and I on a plant tour, and she'd been there a year or so, and she had never been on a plant tour. And if anybody tries to walk with Fletcher Holmes, you know, you're almost running. He has such long legs, and you just hustle right behind him. But then I went on another plant tour when I went into production control, and Ken was my boss then. And he took it a little slower, and it was just, I was learning new terms like attrition and electronic clamp and all these different kind of machines, and I had no idea what they even looked like. So that helped to be able to go through and see the beginning to end process.
Maybe as you have a better idea of the product,
right,
what your company is about, versus just the paperwork, a different perspective.
So it was very educational.
And when did you do that last work with the production?
That was they had already moved. It was when they moved the sales department. They took it out of White and moved it up to High Point as part of the corporate office.
High Point, North Carolina?
Uh-huh. First they moved Shirley Stout. She was in accounts receivable. They moved her up like in October. And then they moved. I switched jobs before they moved Shirley up. And then they told us that they were going to move the people in the sales department. It was about 5 more ladies that did customer service and order entry and invoicing. I think they left the invoicing in Madden, but they took the order entry and customer service. So I had started working in August when Debbie was pregnant, and she was diabetic, and she had to leave work like a couple months before a baby was actually born. So that was when I had kind of a crash course in her job, and I was still trying to help out in sales to get them done. And then the sales department left in January of that year.
January of the...
Let's see, it's been probably 4 years ago, maybe 89 or 90, okay, somewhere along in there, when they moved them up. So,
why would they split the sales department to another part of the account?
Well, with the Hickory manufacturing and Kaylin, those businesses that were all sister companies of ours, they just were going to consolidate and have just one customer service for all 4 divisions and order entry for all 4 divisions. So I'll never forget when they came down, and one of the girls told me that they had just been told they were going to be moving, and it was almost like a death in the family or something. You just felt like you were being, seeing it dissolve. So it was hard.
And you didn't go, you took on a different job.
Uh-huh. But see, they gave me that job before we knew any of this, and it was more or less, we want you to, it wasn't that, do you want to do this job? It's, yeah, we'd like for you to do this job.
Which is different.
It wasn't really a decision to make on my part, as far as, it was, but, and I felt kind of left out for a while, but then it really was best for me, I think, to stay up, because I don't think I could handle riding High Point every day. Of course, they manage.
I was worried for you. I was like, can you imagine having to get up there?
They do that, and they're still doing that. And they say it's not all that bad. It's just what you get used to, I guess. But I was, I really enjoyed doing that, but it just felt like part of your family had moved away. But, and we still get together. We got together this past Christmas, all the ladies that worked together, and it was fun.
It was fun.
We try to keep in touch.
Did you meet in Mammon?
Well, we'd meet it. We did it while we started doing it several years ago, and we just kept on doing it even when the ladies in High Point moved to High Point. We went out to Western Steer this year, and when we came back over here, we play a little game where you can draw presents and take somebody else's presents. So we just had fun.
That's good. Yeah. I was wondering if you mentioned like a family being broken up, and but people you work with aren't necessarily your family members, so it's harder to come back together.
Often. Yeah, unless you put forth that extra effort.
Yeah. So yeah. I wanted to know if people really did, even if it's once a year, come back together. And it sounds like.
And it's like not much time has lapsed. Yeah. Time goes by quicker the older you get. Doesn't seem. I was just talking to one of the girls last night that I worked with, and she had left like in September or October before we found out in November that the plant was closing. And we don't talk that often, but when you do, I was telling you, it's just like no time has lapsed. And it's important to keep up with old friends, I think. And you may not see them every month, or maybe not even every year, but you still, if something were to happen, you'd want to know.
Let's talk a little bit about the plant closing. When did you first know that something was afoot?
Well, we always said we wouldn't be surprised if something happened. You know, they closed the Hillsboro plant about a year before they announced our closing. But deep down you think, well, White's been here forever. There's no way they're going to close White down. And when they told us that they had all the supervisors and office personnel met in the conference room, and they handed out a letter. And for once I thought, well, I'm not going to read ahead. I'm just going to wait and let him talk. And so I was sitting there, and the first thing that Mr. Austin said was, about the plant being closed, and I looked down at my letter, and there it was, and I got really upset. I got up and left. I didn't stay in there.
Really?
We had were in the process of buying this house, and we were getting ready to close the next week, and it was just something I never thought would happen, but when it did, I couldn't believe it.
Now, how come Mr. White didn't announce it?
Mr. White was. When White Furniture was closed, was sold to Hickory, Mr. White was no longer president. He was no longer involved.
Right.
His son worked there for a short while afterwards, but not even a year, I don't think.
Okay. So he wasn't even involved in the process of the sale.
That Margaret was, his wife was still there. I'll never forget when she told us they were getting married either. She had all of us ladies in the office, and she said, well, Mr. White has made me a proposal, and I thought, well, she's going to quit working down here and go work for him full time. And when she said that they were getting married, I couldn't believe it. I almost fell flat on the floor. I thought she was kidding. So, but we were real happy for her, and we'd always, and this was after he had left the company too, so.
So you didn't see that one coming?
Did what, the wedding?
Margaret?
Well, no, she always had taken, we had even said, you know, he had been sick that summer. And she was at the hospital with him and all the time. And she was just real devoted to him. Mari, y'all get married. But we were just kidding. But I think it's the best thing that ever happened to Mr. White. She's really good with him. We all that had never married before, so I think it was good for both of them.
And she continued on, which I find really interesting, that she stayed. Well, what kind of presence was she? Did you feel like she was a White and somehow was part of that connection to, you know, the real White furniture, or was she just someone else who was kind of this?
Well, all of us, we felt, were the connection to the real White furniture, because we were all, a majority of the office personnel was, we were there when Mr. White is the one that hired us, and the supervisors and plant managers and stuff changed pretty much after Hickley bought, but the office staff pretty much stayed the same, so we all felt like we were White furniture, and White American. But it was, Margaret had been there since she was 18, so she pretty much was a permanent fixture at White and Fletcher.
So she wasn't any more White's furniture than she was before.
No, she was, of course we would hear about Mr. White through Margaret and asked about him through her. And Margaret and I, our offices were near each other. Well, it's not that big a place anyway, but we were there toward the end where everybody was leaving. It got down to where, you know, one time it was 15 women there, and then it got down to 6. So you just have a little more camaraderie there. It was fun.
To go back to the closing, you mentioned when you were all assembled and you got a letter and Mr. Austin started to speak. You got upset and left. Did other people leave?
Yeah, they came after me to check on me, and we went to the bathroom and cried and all that kind of fun stuff. But it was very emotional for everybody.
Yeah. It was something. What did you do that day? Did you continue working, or did you kind of?
Everybody was pretty much in a daze. We went about and did, you know, whatever, if something had to be done. Just a lot of, I can't believe it.
What did the letter actually say? Was it just an announcement of it being sold? Did it say we're being closed on this date? Did it say we're being closed in the near future? What did they tell you?
I think maybe it might have said through the end of January or something like that, because we knew it was, I think it was pretty descriptive and as to the reasonings and things like that. And they moved our product line to Hickory. And we knew times had been a little slow, and because they'd had some down weeks or 4-day weeks or something like that. So, you know, like I said, we always said we wouldn't be surprised, but in actuality, it did surprise us.
Yeah.
And I think mainly because it had been an institution in Mebane forever, definitely all my lifetime, Daddy's too. So I hated to see it happen to Mebane.
What has happened to Mebane since White has closed?
Well, I think that I know a lot of the employees would walk up to the area businesses for lunch, or, you know, during break time to, like, Birds or the drug stores, or, you know, and I'm sure they miss that, not being in Mebane during the day now. You know, I'm not as aware of it as it would be, but it's almost, I'm sure they miss it. They'd have to. 200 people there, and I know a majority of them would go pick up something during lunchtime, pay bills, or it was really convenient working in Mebane. I liked working in Mebane. So
you could always go home for lunch, I guess. You live pretty
close.
Yes,
and Mama, like I said, where I grew up was just a couple blocks. A lot of times I just go to Mama's house because we did live 2 more miles down this road. So, and I was excited when we were buying this house. Well, that'll be really close. You know, I'll be back and forth in no time. But in which I did get to work until end of May, 1st of June. So I did get to enjoy that a little bit. But it was nice. Very convenient.
So you were kept on, you mentioned the end of May or June, so you were kept on really to the very end.
Yeah. My job description kept changing, because by the time they announced the closing, being in production control, we're usually like 2 or 3 months ahead of the cutting process. Our job starts before it ever gets out of the plant. So we basically were almost through, I guess, you know, as far as new work. There were some files and stuff that had to be sent on up to corporate and things like that. But, so I would start learning as people were leaving. I'd start learning what they were doing, which it was on a smaller scale as things dwindled. But I went back to invoicing, which I had done during my middle part there, and bills of lading, and it just. I became a girl Friday, I guess, toward the end.
In some ways, I can see that being very difficult, because when you described the other job that you had been given, a woman had left to have a child, or
right.
Someone left to get a different job, but when you're taking over someone's job who's being fired,
yeah.
It would be difficult to learn their skills. One, because you knew maybe you wouldn't have it very long, but you certainly knew that they were giving up something that maybe they wanted.
Yeah. But a lot of I had done previously,
yeah.
So yeah, it wasn't that much. For it was almost like saying goodbye every day. So that was. It got a little easier as time went on, but it still was hard.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gosh. So how long did you have to say goodbye? Did it go on for?
From the end of January. Well, of course, some of them left shortly after the notice. One of the girls in the office found a job. Everybody was like mass hunt for a job. And she found a job with the school system, and they wanted her immediately, so she left right before Christmas. So her job got pushed to another girl. And it was, then my boss left at the end of January. And just kept on, and of course Fletcher was there till the end. And It was different. It was hard. A lot of hugging going on.
Yeah, it's almost too much. In some ways, it can be exciting if someone in your office is leaving. It's sad, but you might take them out to lunch and hope
yeah,
for the
and
best.
we would do that.
It'd be hard if a
yeah.
lot of people were doing it at once.
Yeah. So it was, and the toward the end, I went down because there were so few of us left. I would go down and work in personnel, in their little 3-room office down there, and you would see the employees coming in and hearing their insurance bid and everything, you know, and more or less their little farewell speech. And so it was, they would come, you look forward to them coming back to get their severance pay so you could see them. You know, you still would see them for 2 weeks or 4 weeks more, whatever the case would be of their amount of severance. So. It was like a little reunion, too.
So in some way, that might have eased the goodbye.
Yeah, because you knew you were going to see them again next week to come get their, as long as they were coming back to get a check, you knew you were going to see them.
So,
yeah.
What was your last day like?
Well, a couple of the girls at corporate sent me some flowers that had been at White and moved up there. It was okay.
I remember when I left a job, and I used to work for the Smithsonian, and I remember the last day, you always had to wear this ugly badge. It was ugly. It was a long chain, and everyone hated wearing it. It was a chain.
You had to wear it on your last day?
I had to wear it every day.
Oh, every day.
And I was complaining, you know, you got this chain, you wear this really nice dress,
yeah.
And then you have this chain around your
yeah.
neck, you feel like a dog or something. But I remember that horrible feeling on the last day, you have to give it back, and I did not want to give it back. It was an ugly thing that I complained about for 2.5 years, but it was that sad feeling like, well, there was some sort of honor with that chain. You know, even though it was ugly, it was my connection to a place that I enjoy working at. And did you have any?
Well, there were so few left when I left. You know, I went around, hugged them goodbye, and left. And you would think after 8 months I wouldn't still get upset.
Well, it was an important place. It was very important. Would you like some coffee?
Yeah,
thank you.
What else?
We'll talk about something else. We talked about your first day, and that was good, and different responsibilities and friends. I know what I wanted to ask you. You've mentioned Fletcher Holmes a number of times, and he's a name that come up, and you mentioned Margaret. Are there other people that stood out in your mind as people you respected or admired, or that were especially funny? They might not have been the best worker, but they kept morale up.
Becky Poe, she was something. She worked in the sales department, and it was six of us up there. Mildred Tripp, Sue Isley, Shirley Stout, Becky Poe, Patricia Jarrett, and myself. And Becky and Patricia and I were kind of like in an open area. And Becky was doing customer service, and she was just crazy. We laughed at her more than we laughed at anybody. She works without the store now. Mm-hmm. She moved to corporate office when she was part of the transition up to corporate. And we used to laugh at her. She'd talk on the phone, and she would say, would just tell them anything to get rid of them. Of course, she was kidding, you know. And Patricia and I, we knew exactly how you were supposed to take care of the furniture from listening to Becky on the phone. And she was fun. She was hilarious. She would talk about, we'd pick on her about giving her husband a hummingbird feeder for Christmas or something. You know. She was funny. We admired and respect her, but she was a piece of work. She was, of course, all of us got along well, and that makes a difference. We'd have once in a while, we'd plan a menu, and everybody would bring something certain for food, and we'd have a lunch up there, and we would go out. And when I turned 30, they sent me balloons that, you know, over the hill balloons, yeah, and things like that. And Patricia and I took a cake decorating class together, yeah. So for about 6 weeks we had plenty of cake up there to eat. And we'd always take turns on birthdays bringing cakes and decorating. And we probably had more fun than is allowed at a workplace, but it was fun. All of them were special, yeah, and contributed.
Yeah.
We had the guy that was in the shipping department. His name was Harvey Durham. He retired before the closing and everything. But he had nicknames for us all. Patricia's name was Chigger, and Becky was OD for old drunk. Of course she did. She wasn't a drunk at all, but he would call her OD. And I was Mama because I think I was pregnant with my second child at that time. Shirley May, or I think he called her something else, Blondie or something like that. But it was a lot of fun. We all went out to, when he left, all of us at the sales department took him out for supper one night. And it was a lot of fun. We didn't have to have much of an occasion to celebrate, but they were fun.
That's good.
And of course, we'd all have our little gripe sessions together, and we'd get through it all right, and things would be okay. But now I'm working with younger people, which that's fun too. But yeah, most of Shirley and them were all. I was the young one, or Patricia. She was actually younger than I was. But for a long time, I was the youngest one there. And you learn a lot from their experiences, and they're just. They're fun people. And we still, I called Becky last week, talked to her for just a few minutes. It's nice to talk to them.
Yeah. Still keep that connection and probably still learn from them because
yeah.
They're all doing what we need to do, and learning how to get by or what to do.
Yeah, you keep your ears open for everybody. And one of the girls went to school, and I think she's doing really well at TCA, ACC. I always go through all those before I get to the right one. I remember it was TIA, you know. So, and one of the girls that left in December is expecting a baby in May, I believe. So I was really excited to hear about that.
Yeah.
It was like a family. And the men were real nice. Everybody was fun. Fletcher, he's cut up all the time. When I worked with Fletcher, Manda was just a little infant, and he would just ooh and ah over it. All the children loved Fletcher. They all went to go see Mr. Fletcher, because he'd buy them a drink or do something. And he would always mark their height on the wall.
In the factory?
In his office.
In his office.
Yeah.
That's great.
He would put their little initials about it. And I think Amanda asked me the other day. She's 14 now. And I wonder if my height is still on the wall. I think they actually painted over it at some point in time along the way. But I can remember his children calling and saying, "Daddy, will you bring me a notebook?" You know, he was just, we always like to hear from him.
What is he doing now?
He's working at a furniture company in Winston-Salem. So he lives in Buckhorn, so he's got a pretty long drive himself, but I think he's liking it from what I hear. I run into him at the grocery store once in a while. Ronnie wonders why it takes me so long to go to the grocery store. But you see people that you worked with and you talk to them. So it's he understands now. He's been to the grocery store a few times, and you just can't go in and get out. It's just not the way, which I guess is nice enough when you've lived here all your life and know people.
Sure.
I see people. I saw one of the guys that worked in the plant at the bank in Burlington one day. I think he went to Hooker Furniture. And I talked to him. You know, you just run into a white employee somewhere along the way. I'm looking forward to the thing next Saturday.
Yeah. It's a good idea, a good way to bring people back together.
Yeah.
It sounds like there are informal ways you can meet people, say at a grocery store, maybe at a church, maybe at a school function, like maybe today at the banquet, you'll see a parent, you know, but it sounds like there are few opportunities where you know that the employees are
there was a lot of employees that lived in the surrounding areas in Medlin. You just don't run into them.
Right.
So I'm looking forward to seeing some of them. I hope they'll be there. I was telling Carol, who I was talking to last night, about it, because I know Bill sent out a lot of invitations, but he didn't. Carol had left before White closed. So she said, "You reckon it'll be all right if I come?" I said, "Well, I'm sure it's for all past employees."
Exactly. So. In fact, I brought the letter. I know you would have known about it, but I just wanted to talk about it some more, that it is going on.
And yeah, Bill sent the letter, and he personalized mine and put "Go Heels" down at the bottom. We're avid Duke fans, when he was taking pictures and we won one game, I rode by and blew the horn at him. So we had a lot of Duke Carolina rivalry.
I was wondering about that. But the factor there, because where you locate, you could be either side, you know, and you could.
Fletcher was a Carolina fan, and he always would talk. Manda wore we gave her a Duke jacket one year for Christmas. And I think Bill actually took a picture of it, I'm not sure, but they would always make fun of that kind of thing. And Fletcher's always wearing Carolina jackets and stuff. So we had a lot of friendly rivalry going on, a lot of conversation.
Good.
Yeah, it was, people got their job done, but they could get it done and still carry on, you know, make friendships. But when I moved to up in the sales department, there was very little turnover at White up until Hickory took over. We had one of the ladies pass away. she had died unexpectedly of a heart attack, and she was in her late 40s.
Oh, gosh.
So that was real devastating. I can remember getting a call from the hospital for that. They wouldn't tell you what it was, but they were trying to get in touch with her family, and that was real. And she had had a heart attack earlier. She had come into work, but was feeling really bad, and they finally took her over to the clinic there in Mebane, and her heart had stopped. But she was able to recuperate and came back to work, but you don't ever know.
And so, you got the call?
Yeah, I took the call from the hospital, and of course I asked them, you know, is she okay? And she said, well, she's really sick. I guess because I couldn't tell. So I connected her upstairs with somebody that might would know how to get in touch with her family. And Shirley took the call, and she had some numbers. But that's about the only way you ever got to move around. Was just it's terrible, but that's true. I mean, that's, you know, you pretty much stayed in a position unless... Because people stayed at White. People liked working there, I guess. They were good to their employees. So that makes a difference, too. And they had pretty good benefits. Now time is kind of hard to find a place with good benefits. You appreciate that. You appreciate it more after it's over with than you do during the time that you're experiencing it. But
it sounds like you
good
were,
memories, yeah.
Yeah.
When I had Julia, they had all a little calendar on when she was going to be born and stuff. And they took all the money and put it in a piggy bank and gave it to her. So, yeah, that was nice.
What money was that?
They had a pool going on as to when she was going to be born.
They were betting on the birth.
But I don't either.